How are we to be as Christians set apart from the world? Sanctified. How are we to be sanctified? Thy word. How are we not sanctified if we don't know the word? How can the Church of Jesus Christ be sanctified or set apart from the world if we have no idea what the Bible even says?
Pastor Brett Metter and the truth that is the Word of God.
The most beautiful thing I think we could do is to go through the Word of God. Therefore, we get to be not of this world. We're sanctified, set apart because we have the Word in our hearts. This is what Jesus says.
As part of the Upper Room Discourse of the Gospel of John chapter 17, Jesus says a prayer that serves as a beautiful model for our own prayers. As Pastor Brett Metter reflects on what Jesus prayed, we're encouraged to also strive to glorify the Father, remain united with fellow believers, and focus on both hearing and proclaiming the Word. Let's join him now for today's Word.
In one chapter, he's going to go through the I have statements. And we're going to see him declare those right here in our text. Let's take a look in verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. Okay, so I have declaration number one. I have glorified thee, the Father in heaven, on the earth. Jesus was all about bringing glory to the Father. You know, Jesus lived as a man, but one of the things he came to do is he became humble and a servant. Part of his whole thing was to live life as a person on earth and know our hurts and our sufferings and our pains. And if he could just exalt himself and be exalted as God, that wouldn't be a high priest who is familiar with all of our suffering and all of our pains. Jesus Christ knew humility and how to point to the Father in heaven. Even though Jesus is God and could rightly receive glory, he was quick and always did point to the Father in heaven, which is a perfect model for us. I have glorified thee on the earth. That's number one. But number two is the second part of verse 4. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. How many of you are great starters, but not good finishers? Jesus was able to say, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. The finished work of Christ was as he died on the cross for the sins of the world. Aren't you glad that he finished the work? So now we come to the next I have statement in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. The word manifest, the Greek word is phanerao, which means to appear and to show. The idea is to make known, but by action, not words. Another way is to say it, I have shown God the Father to humanity. That's what Jesus is saying here in this idea of manifesting the name. This idea is to live it more than say it is kind of the idea. Verse 7 brings us the next I have statement. It says in verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and I have known surely that I am come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So what did he say here? He says, number 4, I have given them the words which thou gavest me. The key there is the words, I think. The word builds faith. And that's what Jesus gave to his disciples. To the men that were entrusted to Jesus, he gave them the words which the Father in heaven gave to them. It's really where faith comes from. Remember Romans 10:17? It's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Jesus is saying, I have shared the word just like the Father wanted him to do that. Now, this is complicated when we talk about Jesus because he is the embodiment of the word. So that's a little different. You and I have the opportunity to share the word, which would also be sharing Christ with those that need it. Are you good at sharing the word? And be careful. Yeah, Brett, I share my favorite podcast all the time. That's not what I asked. I've noticed we're on social media, we're so good at sharing this or sharing that. But what about just sharing the word? Now, you might say, well, Brett, I've noticed that unless I have some witty thing or a picture or some meme, the scripture kind of falls on deaf ears on social media. Like if I just put a verse on my social media, people just click right through it. Maybe social media is not a very good platform to share the word. There's a thought. Now, I'll share the word a little bit from time to time on social media, and it does reach a little bit, but I feel like it's quite dubious, the whole thing. For every one time I share a scripture, there's 500 other, you know, sharings of things that are totally wacko and untrue. Sometimes I do wonder if we're spinning our wheels trying to use a platform that is just really, nobody's really tuning in. I don't know. You can be the judge of that, I suppose. But we should be sharing the word more than podcasts, more than social media posts, more than gossip, more than some book that we're reading. There's power in the word. In the scriptures themselves, there's power in the word of God. And by the way, be careful about quoting scripture at somebody. I've noticed people do that today in kind of this mean-spirited, debative world. We like to whack people over the head with scripture. But that doesn't come off very well either. But we'll come back to this idea of sharing the word because, and this is where some people might combine a couple of the I have statements into one. I'm not gonna do that. I'll show you a difference. We'll come to one that almost seems duplicate of number four, but it's not. So verse 8, I have given them the words which thou hast given me. And then we come to our next I have statement, starting in verse 12. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now you might be a little confused on this, but he's saying, I have kept those that you've given me, the disciples. But he says, but the son of perdition. Who's he referring to there? Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. Now, this is important to know. Jesus acknowledges that he kept all the ones the Lord gave him except for the son of perdition, which is basically saying the son of Satan, which means he was not saved. Scholars agree the title son of perdition means you're not saved. That's why he's one of the few people in the Bible we can know is not going to be in heaven for sure because he was given this title. But it is interesting that Jesus viewed the disciples as ones that he was supposed to keep. So what does it mean to keep them? The word keep means care for, train up, and equip, and to love on. This is the kind of keeping that Jesus was doing. Sometimes the Lord will entrust you with the same job. Proverbs 27:17 reminds me of that we are to be like iron sharpening iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, the biblical model of mentoring others and teaming up with people, the list is long. You have Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas. Peter and John were compadres. Moses and Aaron, David and Jonathan, Ruth and Naomi, Mary and Martha. Like we could just keep going on and on. There's often people in the scripture that were there keeping one another and standing with one another, building each other up. It reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Where it says, wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. Edify means to build up one another. Well, verse 13 goes on, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Boy, amen to that. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How are we to be as Christians set apart from the world? Sanctified. How are we to be sanctified? Thy word. How are we not sanctified? If we don't know the word. How can the church of Jesus Christ be sanctified or set apart from the world if we have no idea what the Bible even says? Well, Brett, why don't we know what the Bible says? Here's one of the culprits. I would challenge all the pastors and churches in the world to say, how much of the scripture are you given? There's churches you can go to today, they won't even crack a Bible and they won't even share a scripture. I would just say, it's a wonderful journey. Like it's the most beautiful thing I think we could do is to go through the word of God. And that's in doing so, you and I, we get to know what the word says. Therefore, we get to be not of this world. We're sanctified, set apart because we have the word in our hearts. This is what Jesus says. They, the disciples, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. So what does it say, verse 17? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So all that to say, Jesus gave us the next of the I have statement there in verse 14. Did you see it? He said there in verse 14, I have given them thy word. Now you say, Brett, that's the same as number four. Number four, I have given them the words which thou hast gavest me. And now it says, I've given them thy word. Same thing, right? Didn't we already cover this? Is this redundant? The Bible's so redundant. No, it's not. Did you know there's two different Greek words for the word word? And it's important that you see this because they're different and they're not exactly saying the same thing. Let me give you an example. So John chapter 17, verse 8, it says, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. That's our number four. But notice the word words there. It's the word rhema in the Greek. Remember we went over this a few months back, the difference between rhema and, does anybody remember what's the other word? Logos or logos, however you want to say that. But the rhema is an exacting small, exacting word or very specific, which is really cool. Now that's John 17, 8. So that he says, I've given them my rhema, exacting words for them, for the disciples. But then the verse we're at now in 17, 14, he says, I have given them thy word and the world hated them. The word there is the word logos, which is the doctrine, the teaching, literally the Bible, the word of God. So there is a difference. One is he spoke specifically by the Holy Spirit to the disciples, but he also gave them the next one on our list, the word logos, which is so good. You say, what's the difference between the logos and the rhema? Do you remember? I'll just give you this real quick. In Ephesians 6, 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So remember the word there is rhema, which is, you know, that exacting small word, but I love it. The word sword in this case is this word makaria. It's a small sword, large knife. It's an exacting weapon to do precise work. And then you move along to the next one in Hebrews 4:12, where it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing unto the soul. So this is the word logos, different word. What's the difference? The rhema's exacting small sword. Which one's this? The big giant two-edged sword. Well, Brad, I looked up the word sword and it's the same word that's there in Ephesians. Yeah, but you gotta look up the two words. See where it says two-edged sword? That's where it defines it as a different kind of sword. It's a distomos makria, which means a giant battle axe, double-edged kind of sword. That's the logos. The logos is the big sword that does its work. The rhema is that small exacting sword. This is a great study in the word if you want to look it up. We did a whole teaching on that a while back. You can look it up on our website. So, example of the woman at the well. When Jesus is just talking about the word, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. That's the logos. But then he gave a rhema. Remember when she said, I have no husband. And she said, you've rightly said you have no husband because you have five husbands. And the one you're with right now is not your husband. That's the rhema word. That's the scary one, if you ask me. Well, let's go on. Verse 18. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So it's all about being sanctified from the world, set apart, truth in the word. That's what separates us. But notice that I have sent them into the world. And he made it clear earlier, not to be of the world, but you gotta be in the world. It's the same thing Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul articulates, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Jesus is introducing this. Paul only jumped on it later. But this is where we have, as Christians, we're sent. That's why, the word apostle means sent ones. That's why they're called apostles. He sent his disciples, who became apostles, sent ones, to be in this world and to preach the word, that they may be separate, sanctified. What makes you and I different than the world? It's the idea of the word of God. We should be living, speaking, declaring the word of God. Let's move on there in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." This is where Jesus says this prayer, and it's the second time he says it, that they may be one, unity in the church, maybe you might say. Some might say, that's what we need, unity in the church. It's an interesting thing that's happened through the ages of the church. You know, the disciples were really united, but as soon as you introduced Paul the apostle, suddenly there was division. Did you notice that? And in fact, Paul even sort of corrects Peter, and there's a little thing there, and then Paul and Barnabas, they kind of have a parting of ways, and they don't get along, and then, you know, Paul mentions in his writings, there's Christians that say, we're of Paul the apostle. Oh, we're not of Paul, we're of Jesus only. Some say we're of Apollos. People are already dividing themselves. But Jesus' prayer, oh, that they might be one. That's the heart of Christ for his church. What's the deal with this whole thing where we split up and it eventually became known as denominations? Denominations. On the essential doctrines of the Christian faith, oh, that they would be one. This was the cry that in the prayer of Jesus. Today, the church seems very divided. By the way, there's a funny thing. You know, in the church at Sardis, there in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, Jesus says to that church, unto the angel of the church of Sardis, write these things that saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, but you're really dead. Remember that? Jesus talks to the church of Sardis, says, you have a name, a reputation, if you would, that you're alive, but you're actually deader than a doornail. Are there churches today that have a reputation for being alive, but are really spiritually dead? They're like the sardine churches from the church at Sardis. But there's a funny thing. Do you know that you might not recognize this until you look in the Greek text? When it says, I know that you have a name, Jesus says, does anybody know what the Greek word for that is? Onoma. Onoma, which is, you say, well, what's that? Denomination. It's where the word denomination comes from, is the word onoma. And Jesus even says to this church, I know that you have a name, onoma, denomination, but you're really dead. Dead denominationalism is what the church of Sardis is a warning to us about. Now, I'm not saying that the denominations are all dead. I'm just saying that can be that a church has a name, but they really are dead. Be careful on that one. The church, in my reading of the scripture, the church, by definition, is to say anybody who's part of the church is a Christian in the best sense of the word Christian. And that's an important thing to note. We should be part of his church. As you travel the world, what you're going to find is the word Christian actually has all kinds of meaning. On our trip to Greece, one of our tour guides says, Greece is a Christian nation. And she was so sweet, and we're like, oh, wow, I didn't know the nation of Greece was Christian. Well, that's what the way the world looks at it. Greece is a Christian nation. But as it turns out, if you're a real Christian, you know that, no, they're not a Christian nation. They're just as much not a Christian nation as the United States is not a Christian nation. We're a bunch of sinners, and who's the Christian, true Christian people? They're part of the greater church. We are the part of the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, what's even sadder about that? The Mormons stole that one, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That even makes it sound more holy. What's in a name? All I know is this, the church is what I want to be a part of, the Church of Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that we be united in the things of essential doctrines. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. So there he says it again. Let this ring in your heart that the Lord wants us to be united before Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and loved them that thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou givest me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So Jesus, all this was, you know, the love was before the foundation of the world. Jesus prays that we all go to heaven. Death is not a bad thing for the Christian, and we get to be glorified in heaven with him. That's another thing. But that brings us to the next, number 8, verse 22, and the glory which thou hast gavest me, I have given them. So that's that glory. I have given them the glory thou hast given. This is different from the glory that we often think of. It's not about glory, like look at me and glorify me. No, this is about the glorifying of our bodies in heaven after we die. We're gonna be given glorified bodies in the bigger picture. Like in Romans 8:30, you can jot this down next to that scripture. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. So the saints, the Christians, are gonna be glorified in heaven. Verse 25 and 26 gives us our final one. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So number 9, I have declared unto them thy name. And the result of declaring the name, remember the name is equal to the nature of God. And when Jesus declares his nature to his disciples, hopefully that's gonna give the result of the love of the Father and the Son will be put in them, that they will love one another. By the way, you're saying, Brett, here's another one. This is why some people that say they're 7, number 3 is like number 6. Number 3, I have manifested thy name. And then number 6, I have declared thy name. One is manifested, that means to show, but the other one is to declare, that is to tell. To show and to tell in that order. Like I told you about Paul, I have shown and told. As we close, one of the things I just want you to do is take this list and say, if this is what Jesus said, this was my life summary. I have. And these are the lists of what he saw as the most important accomplishments of his life. Wouldn't it do you and me well to say, Lord, I would like to be able to say, I have glorified thee on the earth. I would love to be able to say, Lord, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. I would love to be saying, I have manifested thy name and I have given them the words which you've given, those exacting rhema words. And I have kept those that you've given to me, the people you want me to disciple and mentor. I have given to them thy word, the logos word. I have sent them into the world. You say, what does that mean? Man, you and I are told to go and make disciples. Go and preach the gospel and make disciples so that they can also go into all the world. Verse 22, number 8, I have given them the glory thou hast given me. And from glory to greater glory, what you want to see is that goodness of God shining through you so that it starts to shine on others. And then lastly, to declare the name of the Lord. And boy, that needs to be happening today as the name of the Lord is taken in vain. And people say the name of the Lord, but they don't know what they're talking about. You and I can declare the truth. This prayer is worth prayer and study, meditation upon this chapter. We've just quickly gone over it. Maybe spend more time the rest of this week and just think through and pray through this. There's some rich, good stuff here.
Reflecting on an important prayer of Jesus near the end of his ministry, Pastor Brett Metter has been highlighting the impact of the various I have statements declared in this most important passage of John 17. And you're listening to Today's Word. In just a moment, Pastor Brett will be back to close in a word of prayer. But first, I want to mention some information about the PDX Crusade from Pastor Brett and Athey Creek Church, which was held at the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon, August 2nd and 3rd. This was a life-changing weekend. There were over 35,000 people who attended, with more than 3,200 responding to the gospel invitation. We are so excited to see the name of Jesus magnified to the greater Portland area. And if you weren't able to attend, you can find more information about the crusade by going to todaywordradio.com and clicking the link PDX Crusade. That's todaywordradio.com and click on PDX Crusade. Well, with our final moments together, Pastor Brett Metter offers a brief word of prayer in closing.
Lord, how thankful we are for this prayer of your son, Jesus. And Lord, much here to consider, but I pray that these things would stick in our hearts. Lord, these I have statements that we've just gone over, I pray, Lord, that you'd just burn them into our hearts, that we'd remember how important these things are, that we be like your son. It's not as much what would Jesus do. We know what did Jesus do. And he declared those things right here. So, Lord, I pray that this study would bring forth good fruit in my brothers and sisters as we go our way. We give this time and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Brett Metter on Today's Word. And that's all the time we have. Next time, Pastor Brett will share another verse-by-verse study of God's Word. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.